So just pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all that goes on, Lord, in Oasis and in our fellowship and, Lord, midweeks. And, Lord, we're so privileged, Lord, to be able to do this, Lord, to not only serve you, Lord, but also our community in this way. And so we just thank you, Lord, for these notices and reminders, Lord, because we do get quite a busy schedule in our lives, Lord, but we also need to, Lord, serve you as well. And so we come before you now, Lord, just in expectancy to hear what you're going to say to each one of us. And Lord, may we come, Lord, with our hearts open and, Lord, just ready to receive what you have to say this morning. So we welcome you, Lord, and we just say we love you this morning. And Lord, that we're just so grateful that we can come and worship you in this place and in this way. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. So we're just going to start with our first hymn, which is When We Walk With The Lord.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His time.
going to have the first Bible reading, which is Esther chapter 4, 6 to 17, and Susie's going to read it for us now.
And so if you're familiar with the story of Esther, Haman had been honoured by the king and Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. So Haman tricks the king into agreeing to annihilate the Jews, and Mordecai mourns in ashes at the city gate. And Esther asks one of her attendants to ask him what he's so depressed about. So we're starting at verse 6. So Hathach went to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence, to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they will be put to death unless the king extends the royal scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you're in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, day or night. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions.
Amen. Thank you, Susie. So we're just going to sing now one song. I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Please sit down. Okay, so when I was about a week ago, and I was thinking about leading this Sunday, and I've been thinking about obviously the church and the future of the church, and God gave me this scripture, and I just want to do an inflection on it really. So it's Zechariah 4:6. Not by my might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by power, but in my strength you shall go forth. Victory is yours before the battle begins. Not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. For whom shall we fear with the Lord on our side? For his word is mightier than the sword. What can man do? For the Lord will see us through. Amen. And that scripture just came to me at this time that we're going through. And so This is just from Streams in the Desert, and about this scripture. Once as I walked along the road on a steep hill, I caught sight of a boy on a bicycle near the bottom. He was pedalling uphill against the wind and was obviously working tremendously hard. Just as he was exerting the greatest effort and painfully doing the best he could do, a streetcar also going up the hill approached him. It was not travelling too fast for the boy to grab hold of a rail at the rear, and I'm sure you can guess the result. He went up the hill as effortlessly as a bird gliding through the sky. This thought then flashed through my mind. I am like that boy on the bicycle. In my weariness and weakness, I am pedalling uphill against all kinds of opposition, and I'm almost worn out with the task. But nearby, there is great power available, the strength of the Lord Jesus. All I must do is to get in touch with him and maintain communication with him. And even if I grab hold with only one little finger of faith, it will be enough to make his power mine, to establish the act of service that now overwhelms me. Seeing this boy on his bicycle helped me to set aside my weariness and to recognize this great truth. Utterly abandoned to the Holy Ghost, oh, the sinking until self is lost, until the emptied vessel lies broken at his feet, waiting till his filling shall make the work complete. Utterly abandoned to the will of God, seeking no other path than my Saviour trod, leaving ease and pleasure, making him my choice, waiting for his guidance, listening for his voice, utterly abandoned, no will of my own, for time and for eternity, his and his alone, all my plans and purposes lost in his sweet will, having nothing yet in him, all things possessing still. Utterly abandoned, it's so sweet to be captive in his bonds of love, yet wondrously free, free from sin's entanglements, free from doubt and fear, free from every worry, burden, grief or care. Utterly abandoned, oh, the rest is sweet, as I tarry waiting at his blessed feet, waiting for the coming of the guest divine, who my innermost being will perfectly refine. Lo, he comes and fills me, Holy Spirit sweet. I am in him, I'm satisfied, I in him complete. And the light within my soul will never more grow dim, whilst I keep my covenant abandoned unto him. So I just thank Jesus that he does come to us and he speaks to us, whatever way he comes, whether it's through song, Bible readings, through reflections. We all have books that we read and he comes to us through them. And I just pray at this moment in time that we will hear what God's saying to us about moving forward in the future with our lovely, wonderful fellowship. So I just thought I wanted to share that with you. So now we're just going to come into worship time. So these are songs I think that that all of you are probably familiar with. So we're singing three songs all together. God of grace, you are beautiful beyond description, and I will worship. And then we'll just go into some prayers after. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to have a short time of prayers, and then we'll just sing this Light Abide, and then the children will go out. Okay? Is that okay with you? So if you need to go out before that, just no problem. I've got a prayer that's about John 14, 15 to 31, the change in me. Your spirit is a gentleman standing at my hidden doors within, where you wait for me to let you in, so you can set me free. You're the life within me. You're the air I breathe. You're the change in me. Your spirit is a whispering when all the lies are deafening. You speak to the very heart of me, and fear cannot remain. Your spirit is a light ahead, calling me into the depths, daring me to take a step and let you lead the way, till all that's left is you. Your spirit is my constant friend. You're with me to the very end. I'll never be alone again. You're the change in me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are the change in each one of us, and that, Lord, we have let you in our lives, Lord, not just as a part, but, Lord, all of us. And, Lord, as we let you in, Lord, you do wonderful things, and you can speak to us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, you can show us and lead us the pathway that we need to go on, Lord, in this journey with you. We thank you, Lord, for our Christian faith. We thank you, Lord, for being our Saviour, the one who saves, the one who redeems, Lord. Lord, the one that rescues us, Lord, when we need rescuing. We thank you that you are all these things, Lord. And this morning, Lord, it is with grateful hearts that we come before you and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us your saving grace. And Lord, we just love you. We worship you. And we love to sing your praises. And Lord, the words do speak to us, Lord. And we're thankful for these writers, Lord, that make this happen. And so, Lord, we just love you, Lord. And we want to just bring now our church family before you. It's so great to see so many here this morning, Lord. It really blesses, Lord, us at the front where we just so you can see a full congregation sitting there. And, Lord, we just thank you for each one, Lord, that can make it and come to be with you this morning, Lord, in this place. And, Lord, there are so many, Lord, that are still on our hearts, Lord. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that Kay is out of hospital, and also Daphne. And, Lord, I pray for those that have had operations, Lord, and that are on recovery, Lord, and waiting, Lord, to get well again. And we just bring those, Lord, before you that are waiting, Lord, for tests, Lord, or operations, or whatever it may be, Lord, that you will take any concerns away from them. That, Lord, we have our faith, and that keeps us strong. And, Lord, we've already said that it's not by might, but your power, says the Lord. And so, Lord, we just bring them all before you, and we'll just have a couple of seconds just in our own hearts to bring those that are on our hearts before you now. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, this morning, Lord, for our fellowship going forward. I pray, Lord, that you will be with each one of us, that we will rally round, Lord, and support each other where the jobs need to be done, and just serve you, Lord, in this place. And that, Lord, we will grow closer together, that we will stay as a united bond together at this time. And that, Lord, through it, Lord, we will just depend on you, Lord, and be closer to you, Lord, through this. So, Lord, we just pray that we will stay strong, Lord, and that, Lord, this will be an encouraging and exciting time in some ways, so that, Lord, we will get a new concept, Lord, perspective, Lord, on where you want us to go on our journey and this next step, Lord, that we need to take. So, and I pray for the meeting on Monday, Lord, that we will hear what you have to say in that meeting, Lord, as well. And so, Lord, we just bring our prayers before you this morning, and ask, Lord, that you will answer them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're just going to sing now, and we will take the collection in this song, and it's This Little Light of Mine. Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord, for these offerings. And Lord, we thank you that there's so many ways, Lord, in which we can use these, Lord, to for your glory, Lord, and for your praise. And we just pray, Lord, that that may be the case, Lord, with these this morning, and for the children, Lord, that we sponsor. Lord, we are so aware of them each week. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, that these offerings, Lord, that go to these countries, Lord, that are worse off than us, Lord, that are poor, that, Lord, you will use them where it is necessary for the necessary things, Lord, that they need. And so we just bring them before you and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've given us so much that we can give this back in this way. And as the children go out now, we just thank you, Lord, for all these children with us this morning. It's such a joy to see them, Lord, and how happy they are. And we just pray, Lord, now that they will learn something new of you this morning and that they will have also a bit of fun as well, Lord. So just be with them this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so we're just going to have a reading now, and it's from Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. And Vera's going to read this for us, and then I'll pray for Jenny after.
So the second reading is entitled, Made Alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen.
Thank you, Vera. Lord, so we just bring Jenny now before you, and I just ask, Lord, that, Lord, what you've given to her, Lord, to share with us this morning, that we will take it in and take it home. And I just thank you, Lord, that you come to each one of us in this way, Lord, and I just pray for Jenny now that from what she's prepared, Lord, that it will be a blessing to us all. Hallelujah, Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
I'm still jigging this little line of mine. Do you know, it reminded me of a wonderful occasion in a little church I was serving in. And we had evening services, and we turned all the lights out, and one person had a candle. And that was the light of Christ that shone in the darkness. And from that candle, everyone in the congregation, one by one, came up and lit their light from that original light. And the church was filled with light. You might think that there's little we can offer as individuals, but as the light of Christ, and we work together Sunday by Sunday and in the week, so the light of Christ blooms here, blossoms here, and floods out into our community. I want you this morning to be encouraged. I'm a great believer that so often we can look at ourselves and think, oh gosh, Lord, who am I? What am I doing? How can I help? And now I chose this lovely subject of Esther as we are looking at Old Testament people in this next few weeks. And Esther was an amazing young woman. Bit of Bible trivia. There are two books in the Bible with female names. One is Ruth and one is Esther. And there are two books in the Bible that do not mention God. One is Esther, and one is the Song of Songs, a most beautiful poem of a love for a husband for his wife. And these two, just a bit of trivia, you might win a little competition if you know those answers. Now, who was Esther? Esther was a young woman who lived in Persia in the city of Susa. She was an orphan. Her parents died when she was very young, and she was cared for by her elderly, older cousin called Mordecai. And Mordecai was like a wonderful support for her. Now, in those days, if women did not obey their husbands, there was great, great upset in the families. And the King Vashti, who was ruling at, sorry, King Xerxes, who was ruling at the time, he, his wife, Queen Vashti, did not obey him. And she humiliated him publicly. And so he had her banished from the land. And because of her disobedience, he was afraid that if the people beyond the city gates heard of her refusal to obey her husband, so all the ladies in the land would begin not to obey their husband, and chaos would reign. But he then gathered together several ladies, several young women who were beautiful, and he kept them for a year where they were beautified even more, and they were cultured to know the ways of the courts, and from that little bevy of women, he was to choose his new queen. Well, he chose Esther. She was beautiful to look at, beautiful in character, and she really took to him, and they took to each other. And so he married Esther, and she was still very, very young. And her cousin, Mordecai, kept a constant watch over her. He had access to the nearness of the king. He could get to the king's gate, and anyone who was at the king's gate, people would come and ask for advice and ask for their guidance. And he heard that the king was going to be assassinated by two of his guards. And he told Esther, and Esther warned the king and said, Mordecai has told me that you are going to be killed by two of your own men. Well, the king was very grateful to be told, but there was a maggot in the pie. That was a man named Haman. Haman was second in control of the whole country. He was second only to the king. And with that power became a great deal of his position, his possessions, his wealth, and he became more and more inflated. And when Haman went about, people would bow to him, people would honor him, but Mordecai knew his character and could not bow to such a man. He bowed only to God. And so he refused to bow to Haman. Haman was absolutely put out by this. He began to dislike Mordecai with a dislike that turned to hatred. And not only did he hate Haman, but he hated the very Jewish race from which he came. And it's, you know, it's so easy for a little thing to grow and grow and grow until it takes you over and can ruin your life and the lives maybe of many other people. Well, he went to the king, Haman went to the king, and he said, you know, this man did not honor me. And because he hasn't honored me, he has disobeyed your law. He should be disposed of. We're going to hang him on a post. Sounds awful, doesn't it? Oh. And the king agreed when he got advice from his other people that advised him, his advisors. He got advice and agreed that, yes, Mordecai should be killed. And then the man went back and he said, well, not only Mordecai, but their people are just as dreadful. They don't respect you like they should. And so the king said, well, yes, we will kill all the Jews in my territory, 127 provinces. Imagine the thousands of Jews that would be destroyed. Well, Mordecai's heart was broken at this. And he spoke with Esther, got a message to Esther and said, this is going to happen. I want you, please, to speak on behalf of the Jews. And in this lovely reading that we read, he said to her, you know, go, plead for the Jews, plead that we will be spared. And he turned to her and said, and who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. You have come. Your voice, if it is heard, can save your people. But he warned her if she didn't speak up to the king, if she didn't have the courage to stand for what was right, then she would first, she too would be killed, as would her father and her family and all her people. So I love the answer. Esther, although she was young, she'd had wonderful guidance from Mordecai. Please, please be willing to receive help, guidance, encouragement in what you're about to do. It's one thing to leap off and do something good, but if you haven't thought it through, if you haven't sought the right guidance, you can make a mess of it. So please, take time. And she listened to Mordecai, and she said, go back to Mordecai and tell him this. For 3 days, fast, day and night. Fasting always included prayer. So she was saying to him, go back to Mordecai, get the Jews in Susa and as far as possible for 3 whole days and nights to pray that she will be safe when she goes to see the king. For he had not asked her to go, and she could be destroyed through that. And listen to her brave words. When this is done, when you have done your 3 days of fasting, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. She was willing to give her life for the sake of her people. What an amazing young woman she was and is. And when I think of her courage, and she went over 2 great banquets, she went, and fortunately she... The king stretched out his golden scepter to say she could speak, and she pleaded for her people. And how I thank God that he showed mercy on them. But Mordecai was still condemned by Haman, and the king that night read from the history of his people how Mordecai had, in fact, saved the king's life by reporting the assassination plan that was in effect. And he said, have we ever rewarded Mordecai for this saving my life? No, said his advisors. And so Mordecai was lifted and took the place ultimately of the dreadful Haman. Good overcame evil because they obeyed the voice of God, that still small voice that filters through every different circumstance. We look at Esther, a young woman who was wise enough to be advised and to listen to those who were older than her and had more experience and were able to advise. But then I went into Ephesians, and here I see how we too can relate to that Old Testament account. Before we knew Christ, we followed the way of the world. When I look back on my own life, up to about the age of 25, I hold my head in shame at the things I got up to, the things I did, the things I said, the people I hurt, the people I took no note of, thought I knew it all, being from 18 to 25, you do, don't you? And yes, I didn't come to Christ. Christ came to me. And I responded to him. And I was so ashamed when Christ came and entered my heart. And the darkness that was there frightened me. And I know as I cried out to him, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. He forgave me. He forgave me. And he made me like new. It says here in this lovely scripture, Ephesians 2, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved. We don't deserve to be saved. But Jesus, he was sent by his Father for a purpose. Esther was born into her family and into that situation for a purpose. And that purpose was fulfilled in their lives, in Esther by saving the Jewish nation at that time, and then also by Christ. But his saving grace was even greater than the original miracle that we saw in Esther. His saving grace is not just for the Jewish nation, but for the world, for the peoples of the world. I think that's just amazing. And it says here, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that we, that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Let us have the kindness of God, where we are willing to forgive, willing to love whatever the circumstances, beyond the liking. And then finally here, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's funny, we say we come to Jesus and we are redeemed, but the wonderful thing is that Christ comes to us and we respond to him. And it is in that response that we are redeemed. Not by works. You might have been a brilliant person before you met with Christ. Not by works. Not by all that we can know, all that we can do and be. Because no one can, if we do that, we are boasting in how good we are, how effective we are, what a success we are. And that's not what God is interested in. For we are God's workmanship. When he claims us, he remakes us, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. When Esther was in Susa, he prepared her the work that she should be doing to redeem and to save her own people. We today are in a similar place. Are we not born to serve the present age? Is that not our purpose in Christ, to be his followers? We had this in our Bible study. Disciples are followers. Apostles are those who give out the message. Let us be the apostles of Christ, where we not only follow him, but he directs us where we can tell of him, where we can act for him, when we can be like him. That's the secret of our lives as Christians, you know. Not to maintain who we are, or I'm Jenny, or I'm or whoever, or whatever. No, no, no. I am Christ's person. And we want people to see in and through us a God of mercy, a God of love, and a God of grace. I just have a little note here. What do we put our security in? Do we put our security in our possessions, our position, or our reputation? Is that what we depend on to feel that we are worthwhile and good people? Those things are all secondary compared to being redeemed by Christ and to know that we are the children of God who are here to serve our present age in whatever task he has given each one of us to do. And the beauty of a church is this. He draws together people of every type, every shape, and every size. And he uses each one of us if we will only submit ourselves wholeheartedly to him. As the people in Susa prayed and fasted for 3 days and 3 nights, may we be a people who spend time in the presence of God, like we do here together, building each other up in faith and in our homes, in the quietness, in the beauty of where we are in Christ. So I just want to encourage you this morning. You have not been born just to be born. You have been born with a purpose since Christ has redeemed you, and we as his children have his work, which he has planned in the future for us to do. God bless each one of us, and may we serve him with open hearts. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Jenny, for that message. Lovely. Wonderful. Now we're just going to sing our last song, Go Forth and Tell, O Church of God Awake. Thank you for your Holy Spirit this morning being with us, and we thank you for everything that's been said and done this morning, because we know that we do it, Lord, for the glory of you. And so we just pray now, as we go our own separate ways and we share coffee together, that, Lord, you will go with us, and that, Lord, you will never leave us or forsake us. Amen.